Welcome back to New to Medical Device Sales. I am your host, Jacob McLaughlin, and today we are bringing an episode that is only going to provide all the value, and I am so excited because today I have a very special guest and a great friend that is actually in software sales. And today we are going to be learning about their process on breaking into software sales, as well as what that experience has been like, and then see what the difference is between software sales and medical device sales. So today we get to have the opportunity of having Will Padilla on today's episode. Will, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, man. Love the studio. We're out here in the Scottsdale Quarter, Kierland, which is one of the most highly coveted areas in all of Scottsdale. So you did it right.
Hey, thanks, man. Yeah, no, it's been fun. It's an absolute beautiful place. And you know what I always tell people is the most important thing is at the end of the picture, you'll see Cheesecake Factory, which is my favorite place in the world. And it's why we're here. But no, man, I really appreciate you taking time today, because why I wanted to have you on is most people who follow us will be like, why are you having someone from software sales on? That doesn't make much sense, because we want med device sales. But going back to, we're always about providing as much value as we can for people breaking into medical device sales. I wanted to make an episode where we get a lot of people who are reaching out from a lot of like college students, but also people who may not have any sales experience, but they're now like, hey, I want to break into sales. Mm-hmm. But I'll get on calls with these people and they'll be like, yeah, but I'm not sure if I want to do software sales or medical device sales. So I'm just trying to figure it out, right? And then I'm like, well, you got to figure it out, because they're very different, right? And so why I'm so excited to have you on is because you're in software sales, you're living that life. And I want to see, you know, why you chose that, what made you want to go there, so other people can watch this. And again, it's all about providing value, because there might be somebody watching this in college who's like, no, software sales fits me better than med device sales. Mm-hmm. And that's the best part, is like, we're just here to provide value. So before we really dive deep into software sales, all the differences, can you tell us a little bit just about who you are as a person?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I went to the University of Missouri School of Journalism, which is the number one public university for journalism in the world. Wow. So it was very competitive, and I wanted to be on TV. So I wanted to be a news reporter, and quickly realized there's not much money in that to start. Yep. And I come from a very, you know, low to middle class. Now they're doing very well, but especially when I was just starting out in college, low middle class type of family.
Yep.
Pretty much until I was 16, we lived off my dad's income, and he's a UPS driver. So yep. 60, 70K for a family of five. I wasn't, you know, on welfare or anything. I always had food on the table, praise God, but never had anything really extra other than the necessities. And in college, I was looking for marketing internships, because I'm like, okay, I go to Mizzou, I have all this swag and confidence of like, I deserve this.
Yeah.
You know, I go to the Mizzou Journalism School. Of course you're going to hire me. And I was looking for internships after internships, and I just kept getting rejected. You don't have marketing experience. Well, of course I don't. I'm in college. Like, yeah. What are you talking about? My brother was part of the Entrepreneurs Organization of Illinois.
Yep.
So we're talking heavy hitters. Like, he just ran against J.B. Pritzker, Gary Rabin. Wow. So he was a Republican candidate for Illinois, and he was his mentor. And he owns the largest paving company in the United States.
Wow.
So we're talking money.
Yeah, it does okay.
Yeah, he does okay. And in that group, there's also another gentleman named Ryan Dobby. Ryan, if you're listening, man, you're still always in my story of how I got here. He owned a logistics company called AFN Logistics.
Okay.
It was one of the most successful logistics companies pretty much in the United States at the time. And my brother said, hey, he's looking for people for an internship. Pays $15 an hour.
Yeah, baby.
And this was $15 an hour in 2016. So this is for the how cheap gas in 2016, gas was like $1.30 a gallon in Missouri. And to make $15 an hour was actually really good.
Yeah.
Well above the minimum wage at $7 an hour.
Yep.
And so I said, well, okay, I'll apply. Got in, and they said, well, your job's going to be calling truck drivers to pitch a load for them to pick up. And I said, okay, if it pays $15 an hour, I'm in. I have no money.
Yep.
And got in and quickly got linked up with this guy named Alex Witt. And the reason why I'm giving you this backstory is it's how I'm here today.
Yeah.
So Alex Witt, ex-Army Special Forces. Oh. He owns several brands right now that are very well known. Battle Bars.
Yep.
They promote all the UFC fights. They're working with guys like Ryan Bader, Michael Chandler. Wow. So big UFC guys that they're influencers. And he also owns a chain called 10-40-10 Fitness in Chicagoland. So okay. It's a CrossFit gym, like several different locations, very successful. And Alex was right across from me and I worked for another guy named Mark Robbins.
Okay.
And Mark Robbins, like these two were like the top reps in the company. We're talking, you know, well over $250,000
yep.
each, just like easily.
Yeah.
And so I'm now making $15 an hour, making calls for these guys. And I'm around a lot of money around the two guys who have made the most money I've ever been around in my life.
Yep.
Picked up the phone. My second or third call, I actually got on the floor. I made my Mark Robbins, who is my mentor. I made him like $7,000 on one call.
Wow.
And I hung up and he said the words, "You have no idea how good you are. You can mess this up if you don't take this seriously, because you are scary good." Mm-hmm. He said, I've never seen someone get on the phones and sell that quickly. And from then on, I said, okay, well, apparently I'm good at this thing.
Yep.
Made him a lot of money. He paid me, you know, cash, cash under the table. Cause he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
I think he's going to come out to Scottsdale soon. We're going to link up and I'm going to take him to a shooting range, but he pretty much, gave me the grit of like, who Will Padilla is from a hustle and grind software or sales standpoint. They made me cry a few times. I remember one time I messed up a call and they said, "You're moving too fast. Get the F out of here." And this is on the sales floor. And they started swearing like, "What the are you doing?" And I'm like 19 years old. And I go home in my car. I'm like, "Mom, I'm not going to go back." She goes, "You're going back there." And I came back and they said, "You showed back up." And they is a level of more respect for me.
Yep.
Of like, this kid can take
direction. Yeah, he wants it. Yeah.
And he doesn't care. So stayed close contact with them. Graduate college, the company, the logistics company I was going to work at got bought out.
Okay.
So it was no longer an option for me to work there. Otherwise I would have, but God's plan. So it wasn't meant for me. And then I go to this staffing job that my mom, like friend worked at.
Yep.
So I worked at a staffing job. They treated me very well, but I just wasn't passionate about the industry. And it came time to the pandemic hit. And I said, all right, what do I really want to do in life?
Yeah.
And, I wasn't making the money that I wanted to, but I was young and I just wanted to do something new. And my uncle worked at McAfee Security and okay. I knew, all right, I heard from my family, this guy makes like $400,000.
Yep.
And I'm trying to make that type of money.
Yep.
So I got to get into software sales. And I would, again, interview after interview, "You don't have software sales experience. We don't want you. You don't have software sales. We don't want you." Came to basically the final rounds with three companies. And I had three offers at one time, two very respectful software companies. And then the third was only referred to me because of Alex Witt. Alex Witt owns Battle Bars and he was going to purchase the company I work for to use for his own business.
Yep.
And he said, they have a business development role open. Tell the freaking recruiter that I'm going to buy, but not yet until you complete the interview process.
Mm.
So I had someone on the inside working for me
yeah.
of like, I'm not going to buy just yet. Like, I'm not going to hold it over their heads, but like, let them know I'm not buying, but I want to buy.
Yep.
And so the entire process, I said, yeah, this company called Battle Bars, they're about to purchase you guys. And all the sales reps I interviewed with were like, oh, he ain't lying. Like, they're right there. Like, he actually knows him. Like, oh gosh. And then I got three offers at one time, took the company that I'm at, quickly started as an SDR, rose through the ranks in 10 months, got promoted to an account executive. And then pretty much from there on started posting content on TikTok and LinkedIn about what software sales is, how to excel in software sales, grew a pretty decent following. And yep. I've, you know, sell the number one influencer marketing platform in the world to top brands, close companies such as Uber, Lululemon, Athletic Greens, and many others. But yeah, that's what I do. Man. And yeah, that's a little bit of background.
Dude. So
maybe a little bit long, but like
sales
amazing. Has been in my DNA since 19.
No, and that's a big thing I want people to hear is just because, again, we talk about this off air all the time, but like a lot of times everyone's like, oh, it has to be this sales or it has to be this sales. We both talked like sales is sales is sales. It's just where do you find your niche, or where do you find the thing that you actually enjoy and you like to do? And for you, it ended up being in software sales. And so, and for me, it was med device sales, right? Like it, there's both great, there's pluses and minuses of each one. And we, and you go through that. And what I really just wanted to say is, like, again, your story is one of those things of just continuing to hustle, continue to hustle. And guys, what I want you to really kind of see is, like, Will is like me in software sales. Like, you know, and that's why we connect so much, and why we connect so well is, like, you're a hustler. You've been grinding. You've been doing it. You didn't come from anything, just like myself, right? Like, you got 3 job offers. I got 4 job offers when I first started, but we both aren't supposed to have any offers, right? And so it's just, it's funny to look at the backgrounds of where we're at and then where we're both at and going to, and the business that you've built on the side. You know, we've been able to build another business on the side when we were doing this, right? And it's just a lot of similarities. And so it's a lot of cool things to see all at once. But I absolutely love your background, because it leads to why you're successful today. And so hopefully you guys can just listen to that and be like, wow, I keep hearing a lot of common things of hustling, did things I didn't know I was going to be good at, but it actually turned out to be good, and all these things. But now I kind of want to dive into, okay, so you got into software sales. Now, one of the things you were saying is, like, hey, SDR, AE, like all these stuff. Can you kind of just go in, what are those roles? So, like, for example, we have the entry level, then we have, like, the full line rep, and then you have the regional manager. What is that in software sales?
In software sales, and SDR stands for sales development representative. This is the most entry level position in software sales, and it's typically where someone's going to start. The expectation is, you know, 50 to 75 cold calls a day, complete outbound prospecting, booking demos for your account executive to close. And ideally it should take 18 months to 3 years to get promoted to an account executive.
Wow.
That's the typical time frame.
Okay.
Now, actually, in this economy, it's probably 3 to 4 years.
Okay.
For a promotion.
Wow. And then what can someone at that entry level expect to make?
Well, I'm just going to be real with you guys.
Yeah, like all over the averages. Averages and what you see.
I'd say, like, I'll be transparent. Like, my first year as an SDR, it's unique, right? So I would say the typical SDR would probably make 75 to 90K.
Okay.
Their first year.
Yep.
You can make much more than that. My friend who works at Adobe, who has a very successful TikTok, his first year as an SDR made 140K.
Yeah.
So it's definitely possible to make a lot. My first year I made 101.
Yep.
So you can certainly do a little bit more, but it takes a lot of work. So that's the most entry level.
No, and I love that, because what I want to do is, like, okay, so that's the entry level. So now med device sales, it's associate sales rep role, right? And so that's going to be the most entry level role. Well, what those guys are doing and girls are doing are running trays. They're trying to cover cases. A lot of times they're just trying to learn the business, and they're there just, again, to help out the team inside the field, help out with cases.
Yeah.
A lot of times what we see is the average is going to be probably coming in between $55,000 and $75,000. But again, like you said, like, our average person comes in at 95K. We've gotten multiple ASRs in the last week hired at $110,000, right? And that's where they're starting. They're usually going to be in those roles. The industry will tell them 2 years max, like, you know, 18 months to 2 years. Like, we've gotten ASRs to full line reps in 8 months, right? So it just matters if you can go and climb that process faster. But like, yeah, I just want to, but like, again, we see people, like, we've gotten ASRs hired anywhere from, like, on average where we're getting our people hired is anywhere from that, you know, that 75, 80 to 110, 115. But again, that's going to be just variant on the person. Like, again, there's people who can come and make more, but that's the real entry level. So, okay. So they go be the SDR in software sales. Then what's the next role that they go into?
They'd go to an account executive.
So after about 3 to 4 years, depending.
Now in this economy, 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, yeah. So, and let's say you crushed it 2.5 years, all right? So about 3 years, okay, you're there. You go to account executive. What does that look like?
So account executive is what I do. So account executive, you're having a team work for you. However, software sales is changing. Last 3 years, really have people work under me. They set all the meetings. I didn't really have to prospect myself. The economy and software sales is changing the way that sales is being done.
Yeah.
So I'm actually pretty much full cycle account executive. So I find all my own business.
Yep.
And close my own business. So I'm demoing software to brands, working with different buying organizations within the company. So, you know, we have to integrate with their e-commerce stores. We have to get the e-commerce manager.
There's
on.
A lot.
We got to get the influencer marketing manager on. We got to get the CEO approval, CFO approval. And pretty much I'm, you know, meeting with every executive person by the time the deal is done.
Wow.
And I source most of my own deals. I do have SDRs who work under me, who do feed me, but I can't rely on that as much as I used to. So I have to 100% like just go out and kind of get it myself.
Yeah.
Which is difficult, but I would rather be the one to put in that output of trying to get new meetings and start closing some business than just kind of sit there and wait for people to feed me.
Yeah, no, and I get you. And so in an account executive, what would like the range be there? And again, that's going to be very variable on, you know, like where they're at, the companies, the stuff that specific software is, but like on average in what you see, what do you usually see that range? Like we say the average rep in MedDevice is about $177,000, yeah. Right? But like, what do you see on average in the industry?
I'd say like most account executives, like you have different levels. So There's like, we have like SMB account executive, which is like small to mid-sized business account executive. You know, you're probably looking at anywhere from like 110 to 150, mid-markets where I'm at. So you're probably looking at 140 to 180. Enterprise, you're looking at 225 to 300 on average. So you kind of get these like levels.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the averages for software sales. And like I've been a mid-market account executive for like 2 years. And then I was a SMB account executive for 1 year. And then I was an SDR for a year. And I like mid-market a lot.
Yeah.
Just cause it's more complex deals, but not so complex like an enterprise.
Yep.
Like an enterprise, you know, I'm closing companies like a Pepsi or
The reason you make so much more money is because there's way more headaches. There's way more people. There's way more red line. There's way more, like, you know what I mean? Like it's hard. Trust me, I get it. And like, that's what I would sit here and tell you guys is like in the med device world, like we see that it's, everyone's like, oh yeah, 250 to 300. I'm just going to go do that one. And right. I'm like, yeah. And you might get one of those deals a year. Right. Like, and again, maybe they get more, but it's like people don't understand like a sales cycle like that. That's not, hey, you got in and 2 months later, you closed that deal.
No,
you're doing a bunch of demos. You're doing a lot of talking because guess what happens? You do that. And then the new person who was there that you were talking to just got fired or just left or whatever. And guess what? That process starts all over. Now you got new decision makers. So I love that you kind of went into a little more detail because again, there's those different ones, but what people will hear on here is like, oh, just money. Like it's when we say capital sales. Yeah, you can make $300,000-$500,000. I'm gonna just do that. But the guy who made $500,000 had that 1 year out of seven.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I think that's the thing that you kind of found the niche where you're like, hey, we see it. I know I can make deals. I really enjoyed working with this kind of people in these accounts. And that's where I'm going to stay at.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's a big thing. And so just so you guys can hear is like, so that in the full line rep in medical device sales is the territory manager. They sometimes get called account executives, area sales manager. It would just matter where they're going to go. Like I said, the average that we're going to see is like 177. And that's if you go across the board. But again, I say that because we've gotten people like right now I have somebody, they're at plans 198. Right. And then that's, again, what I want you always to hear is that's the app plan. If you go over just like in software, you make more, right? Some will have caps, some will be uncapped. But again, usually it takes, you know, 1 to 2 years to go from an associate to a full line rep. Now, when you're a full line rep, a lot of times you might have an associate sales rep underneath you helping running those trades. Or sometimes like when I was here, I was by myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anyone. I was running two states by myself. But again, that means I was responsible for everything, running the trades, covering the cases, doing the business reviews, actually, you know, setting up meetings, setting up lunches, actually doing demos and conversions and POs and emails and calls and all the prospecting, all the stuff you want to add in there. That's where it's again, the one thing that we see a lot of times is, you know, this is where everybody always asks me, but what I see the biggest thing is when what we're talking is people that I hear that come, because we get a lot of software sales who come to us. Mm-hmm. I've gotten people placed in software sales, right? Right? And through that process. But the biggest thing is what you're kind of seeing is a lot of times you're going to be working remotely, correct? Or do you actually go and visit these people in
person? Oh yeah. Person? No, like our sales are all done
remote. Yeah, it's all done remote. And yeah. Right. And so that's why I say that is because we get a lot of people who come from software and they're like, I want to meet people.
Yeah.
And so the reason I'm just saying that though, is like, you might be watching that and be like, I don't want to see another human being in action. I want to be having pajama pants on and talking to people. Right. And that's where we see software, but I know it's not that. That's sure. Just, that's the projection everyone puts in their head. But that's what territory managers is like. Again, you'll see a lot of times the salaries and the money can be very similar.
Sure.
The job duties are just going to be way different. Now, again, still closing deals, still setting meetings, still doing all the stuff, but like your day to day is going to be different most likely in med device sales than it is in software sales. And this is where we talk about, and we were talking about off air, is like, this is where you have to really understand who you are as a person.
Right.
Right. Because like for me, we talk about it. Like one of the things that I'm not good at is like, put me behind a computer for 8 hours. I'm like, I might put my head through the wall. Right. Like I'm like, I need to go have interaction. I need to go talk with people. I need to be able to help people. I want to make purpose. But also I have a lot of people who come in and they're like, dude, I could never talk to another person again. I might be okay, an actual person. And so it's super interesting to like see the differences. But what I absolutely love what you're doing is like, you found your niche, you found what you really enjoy, what you really like, and it allows you to go all in. But again, what we talked about is sales is sales is sales, right? Now there's going to be different processes. You guys got to do different demos and all the stuff. I really want people to be like, okay, so you know, you have the SDR, you have the ASR. Right? You have the account executive, you have the territory manager. You can just kind of start weighing those things out. What's the opportunity? And also like just the career growth. Because one thing I'd love to hear about what you're saying is really in the last couple of years, how's that landscape changed with COVID and everything? Because when COVID hit, med device sales actually like took a step back because they didn't allow reps in. You couldn't have in person. And like a lot of these surgeries got canceled, but that's when software just went straight up
through the roof.
Right. And so now we're kind of seeing a little different change of just because of where the economy's at, where things are going. Now, here's the thing, software is still booming and like they're doing everything. But what have you seen in the landscaping in the last couple of years where it's at now? Because you keep saying like, hey, in this today's climate, it's a little different. What does that look like?
Well, I mean, for anyone listening, look at the 10 hottest stocks in the world. They're all tech. NVIDIA's their market cap is more than the half the European Union. One tech company.
Absolutely amazing, huh?
One tech company. So software does drive most of the world, and it's not going to slow down.
Exactly.
However, last year exposed a lot of software sales reps who actually weren't that good.
I was just going to hit on you here. You go on, but we're going to hit on that one right now.
No, you have some. Go ahead.
No, sorry. We'll hit on it after you finish your thought with that.
It was a very exposing year. A lot of people transitioned out of software sales, said it's too hard. It really was a weed out year.
Yep.
This year is still tough, but not as tough as 23, at least from what I'm seeing now. And the good software sales reps lasted.
Yep.
And the reason being is because it switched from the model of, oh, I'm just going to sit back and the SDRs are going to feed me, to I have to make 40, 50 cold calls today.
I got to hustle
every single day and run demos and close deals and put together solutions presentations and RFPs and still hit my extremely high quota because quota did not lower.
No, exactly.
Quota was the same in 22 as it was in 23 as it is in 24. It's all the same quota. So the demands are all the same, but the output to get the new business is now probably 2 to 3x.
Yep.
You just can't sit back and blast a bunch of email sequences.
Come on.
And people will click on it and book meetings because candidly, that's what would happen in 2020 and 2021. Nice, easy years.
Yeah, because everybody needs your stuff, but everyone's at home.
Oh,
everyone's
like, the minute I said, yo, I know you're all at home. No one could go shopping. You need our software. You need our software. Here's an email. I think you guys would be a great fit. Book here. I'd have probably 18, 20 new meetings a week from emails.
Wow.
And then barely had to cold call. Now it's... Now, today, if you're not picking up the phone and calling, you are not getting business.
Yeah.
So like that's the transition is like, that's the landscape today is email marketing doesn't hit. You know, what hits is connect with someone on LinkedIn, send them a voice note, I make people videos. I'll send them a 1 minute video and be like, Hey man, thanks for accepting my connection. Hey, I've been going through your guys' Instagram. It really looks like you guys could use a platform to help manage these influencers. Out of curiosity, what platform are you using to manage them? You know, here's a little bit about us. Here's how we can help. Hope you enjoyed this 60-second video. Boom, sent. You know how many sales reps did that? Probably in the whole month, a VP probably gets 2 videos a month from a sales rep. So yep. I'm like, cold calls, videos, LinkedIn messages that are personalized. I don't really sequence a high volume anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, first off, I want to just say it's why you're a top performer and why you're where you're at. Because again, thinking outside the box, which you have to do to be a top performer. But the one thing I just wanted to say is like, I just love when you said that is like, it's a weed out year. It's all this stuff. You want to know who always hits me with, what happens if there's a recession? What all this stuff? Yeah, the people who suck lose their jobs. Right. Facts. And like people are like, oh, that's mean. I'm like, it's life, right? Like, for example, we always said this, like, and I was very vocal about this. I took the lowest performing territory to top 10. I was one of the top performers at Innovus. You know what I was never worried about? Do I lose my job? Because here's, first off, if you're not a silly goose with your money, you have enough money to make it the next couple of years with not right. worrying about it. If you're just not being like normal reps, you're like, and let me just, little tip to you all, most reps will make a lifestyle of 100, or they'll make 150 grand. They make a lifestyle of 150 grand. Now they have to stay in it for 20 years, hate their life. And they're all the negative Nancys that you talk to that are grouchy because a doctor yelled at them and they can't leave their life because they bought too much stuff. Don't do that and you'll have a happy life. But you live underneath your means, you do all this stuff. But you know what top performers are never worried about? I openly would always say it. Yeah, fire me. I'll go find another job. Now, again, I didn't say that to my companies and be like, oh, fire me, like threaten. No, it's just, you have that mindset. You're not worried about it. You know who's always worried about getting fired? The reps that stink, right? And the reason I'll just say that is like, again, we talked about it. I had people that I'm really good friends with, top performers in real estate. Like, I mean, like, we're in Scottsdale selling millions and millions of dollars of real estate. And I was just like, hey, what do you think about the real estate market? And they're like, oh yeah, all the bad real estate agents that every single person who's a stay at home parent or whatever they do, and everyone's a real estate agent here in Scottsdale, half of them are going to quit. All the people are going to do. Why? Because it's tough now. You know what the top performers don't do? It's tough. I better quit. They're like, let's go. Because again, I've said this from the last 3 years. Every time somebody's like, it's a recession, I'm like, let's go. Because sure. what you guys don't understand, Netflix, like Uber, Amazon, like all these things came from the last recession. There's either you're going to be in the negative or you're going to look in the positive and you're going to be like, there's a lot of opportunity.
Yeah.
Right. And so the reason I'm just saying that is it's the same thing about device sales. Number one question I get asked, well, what's the job market? It's great for people who are good. When you perform at a large company, all the other large companies and all the small companies want you because you already performed. But most people don't perform. And they're, again, you see this all the time. Most people in sales are looking, how can I do the least amount of work and make the most amount of money?
Doesn't work like that.
And it's why they lose, why they're never top performers, and why they get fired or they laid off or whatever. You know who doesn't get laid off? Like, who doesn't get laid off? Top performers.
Yeah, I made a video about that and it went viral and people were telling me to go like F myself.
Oh, dude, like, preach it one more time. Dude, it goes back to what we say. And it's why you guys listen to this and why I absolutely love this podcast. Like we talked about it on your podcast that I was on, is for the fact of, you know, you have to find out who your haters are. And the people who do not like me, and they're the same for you, who will not like you, are people who are not secure in themselves. They're not hard workers and they're not trying to grow. Those are the people who will slide into my DMs, tell me why I suck, why I'm the worst. I'll have reps who've been in for 15 years, but they barely hit quota, or they've missed quota a decent amount of times, but they've done enough not to get fired, but they're just there, but they're going to tell me why I suck. And then they're like, for example, you and I talked off air. I've had people that are regional managers. It took them 12 years to get there. And they're going around telling people why I'm not a great person. I've never talked to them, A, but number two, they're mad because I was an RM in 2 years and it took them 12, right? I know that. We know that makes them mad, right? And so what I'm just saying that is when you have that security and you know who you are, anybody who's ever asked, what's the outlook? Well, you just heard tech is amazing. Guess what? People are always having surgeries. So it doesn't matter if you do software sales or med device sales. As long as you come in and you hustle and you do the work, you're going to do, you. Let's just say this. You come into software sales and you come into med device sales, you do the work, you hustle and you learn and you keep growing. You will make money. You will become financially free as long as you make smart decisions financially and you can have a great work-life balance.
That's right. And the reason why I would say if you're in medical device sales and you want to transition to software sales, or if you're in software sales, you want to transition to medical sales, I think it's actually a great fit because they're tangible products. Mm-hmm. I sold services at a staffing company and I would say that that was a terrible way to make a lot of money selling because with a product, it's actually tangible. So with medical sales, yep. You're going to a hospital, whether it's a new CT scanner or whatever.
Yep.
It's a tangible thing that they can experience. You can demo, you can show off, you can say, hey, XYZ hospital uses this. This has saved them, whether it's hundreds of thousands of dollars in electricity bills because it's a lower cost product and it's more efficient and green and tech, all that stuff. Or if you're in software sales, you can demo the product and say, look, this is how it's going to merge with your email. This is how it's going to attract and capitalize on your entire market. So it's these tangible things that people can experience
yeah.
that I think make medical device sales and software sales a great route for any sales rep, is because I've sold services and I'll tell you what happens when you sell a service. You sell on price Because if I'm a staffing company, say, oh, well, we specialize in this, we do this, we do this. Well, so-and-so down the street said they also do that and they're charging half. What's up with that? Oh, well, we're better, we're better. It's just what you say. It's not actually what they can see and actually tangibly experience. Mm. With a medical device product, Stryker is different than Biotronic. Biotronic is different than Medtronic yep. or Innovis. In software, you have top software competitors that, so we have, there's a sales intelligence tool
okay.
called Gong. Gong is the number one, it's the world's number one sales intelligence tool. So it listens to your conversations, analyzes it. It's unbelievable software and they're different from their main competitor, Clary. And then they're different from another competitor, yeah. Chorus.
Yep.
And you have all these things. Well, what makes it different? Let's open up the tool.
We'll show you. Come on.
We'll show you.
Yep.
Same thing with medical device sales. What's so, you say this scanner is different, but I don't know. That company's told me that they're different. Let's test it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, that is so good, man. Like I want to touch on that is that's one of the biggest things. A tangible products are always great that you can do. And then like for us, like I can just sit here and tell you as somebody who now gets people placed and doing stuff. Number one, we get a lot of people from the staffing world, healthcare recruiters, like that's some of the most people we get and we get them placed very quickly because of the hustle that they've already been doing.
It's hustle.
Yeah. So we help with that, but I can sit here and tell you as somebody who like we have a course and then we sell a service to get and helping people get in that product that they're doing.
You have a tangible course though.
But we have a tangible, yeah, and it's there. But what I'll sit here and tell you is the biggest thing is it's the value it provides and you have the people who are giving the actual feedback, right? Because that's always like the price, because people will always go on price, but this is like sales 101. They'll focus on price when they don't understand the value. Yeah, and they'll lose that price. And like we always talk about like, yeah, you can go, for example, I always tell people out there, like you can drive a Honda Civic and you can drive a Lamborghini. It still gets you to the same place, but way different experiences. And probably it might not get you the same experience and the same speed and what you're looking for, right? I take it even back. Let's go even more general. Hey, you can go to Dollar General or you can go to Target or Target, as many people I know say. Guess what? You might be able to get some toilet paper, but probably the quality of the toilet paper is way different and the experience that you had there was way different.
It's way different.
Right? And so that's what I always just tell people is that's what people miss with that. So I just wanted to really touch on that because that's such a good point. But what I want to also say, so we can just help provide some value, is what most people come in is a lack of. Like, for example, every time I sold to my competitors, you know what I'm not worried about? My competitors. I'm worried about what we sell and what we're different and how we're better, right? The reason I'm saying that is whether you guys are listening to this, whether you go interview for software sales, you interview for med device sales, the number one thing I have to tell people in our course, Jacob, I'm going up against someone from 7 years experience and all that. And I beat out people with 10 plus years experience.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter.
You beat out people with more experience, right? But when you focus on yourself, that's your only competition, right? And that's one thing I just wanted to reach out to you all is like, just understand, but like, yeah, you're 100% right. Is there's so much, like I said, we've had people go through our course and like we got them placed at 175 grand in software, right? Like they were like, oh, we wanted to go software at first, but they had the opportunity to also go like cardiac and make 165,000 in cardiac, which just so you know, like that's a division that you can go make 300-400 grand in, right? And they could probably done that in the next 2-3 years, but it fit their lifestyle better to go to the software. Right? Like we're never going to be like, oh, you have to do this. You sign it, right? It's whatever's best for people. But what you just said is so good is that there's a lot of like transferability. And I've watched people do med device sales for 2-3 years and then they go software. And I actually just talked to somebody who did med device sales, went to software, and now they're trying to come back to med device sales. But again, that's where I just tell you, it's not that med device sales is better than software or software is better than med device sales. It's the person. And that's what I think people miss is it's what do you personally like selling? Like we talked about, if I had to go sit behind a computer and try to sell something all day, like I, just so you know, when I first started at Innovis, that was like, I took over a territory that did $0 in revenue. My whole life was cold calling, cold emails, doing all this stuff. After about 4 hours, I'm like, I just need to get in my car and go see a human being. Mm. Right. And then I go call on a local person. Right. I was just, but like everybody's different in that aspect. And so this kind of leads me into, I thought this might be a little bit fun just because again, everyone's going to be watching. They'll be like, oh, I don't know what I like or what I don't like. But I think it's the people who are in it and have been in it can actually speak to it. We can talk about some of the pros and some of the cons, right? Because every company, every division, every specialty that you're in is going to have it, right? But for you, what is the thing that you love about software sales and being in software sales?
I love software sales because I think it's a very unique buying experience for the consumer where you're actually demoing the product and because it's technology and it's cutting edge, they've likely never seen what they're actually watching. They've never seen it before.
Yeah.
So it's all brand new. It's wows. It's, I can't believe this software can do this. How did you guys build this? And then you start to connect the dots of not how did we build this, but how is it going to impact you and your business?
Come on.
And software, it's a plug and play. So if they sign the agreement, immediately they get access to our software. From that first meeting, then I meet with them and I do a 30-minute session where I say, congratulations, welcome. Let's focus on getting you set up. So now I'm, boom, getting them set up, immediate impact. Impact's immediate. That's what I love about software sales. It's not like it's going to take a week or a month or a year. Give us some time to build it. No, it's software. It's a code. We dish them the code, immediate impact, immediate results in the business. Now it takes time to learn the software and how to like actually utilize it. Current state to future state, it's very quick.
Yeah.
And so where I can say, currently you're managing all your contacts on spreadsheets. You know, how much time is that wasting? Or how, you know, how much time are you spending on that every month? Probably 20 to 25 hours, really. That sounds what, like 90 to 100 hours a quarter? Yeah, that's, or, you know, or 90 to 100 hours a month? Yeah, you could say that probably. What would you say if I could cut that down to 6 hours a month? That would be insane. How would you do that? I'll show you. And that's how I love software. It's like, I understand where they're at. I'm going to show them how they can get there. The software is insane. Again, they've never seen anything like this. Like you have to think about like Steve Jobs, right? Like it's all software. Yeah, it's products, but it's also software. It's the UI, it's the experience. Everything's different and it's actually someone could click and experience, oh wow, this Apple phone is so much different than the Android, but they're both a phone, but what makes them so different? It's the technology inside the phone. It's the UI, it's the user experience, which we would call UX.
Yeah.
That's why I love software sales is because it's immediate impact.
Yeah. No, I love that. And then, again, you find the need and you can show them right away.
Yeah.
You know, that's super cool. And like, just to go, so that's a positive that you love about software. And one thing that I've always loved about med device sales and what drew it to me was like, I loved, like you said, seeing the impact, but being able to sell a device that for me was making a difference in somebody's life. Like there's nothing that I've told you guys about this before was, you know, I'm selling a product that's actually like truly changing somebody's life. Like you say, you get to see the doctor's excitement because they're doing it, but you get to see it happening on the patients right there. And like, there's been times, like there's nothing like being in a hospital and having a doctor come and hug you and say, if it wasn't for you and your product, that person would not be alive right now. And like,
that's insane,
man. And like, there's something really cool about that. Like I even sold a device that most people wouldn't think that would happen, but like if they're bleeding out, they don't know if we don't stop the bleeding. And like, because of our device, we're able to go and stop the bleeding and get the things that are saved, that like it literally saved their life. And you get a hug and they're like, because of you, hey, thank you so much. And then, but my biggest thing was always thinking about like, hey, like when I was in women's health, I'm thinking about that. That's my mom. That's my grandma. That's my, you know, my sister, like all those people, like, hey, I'm selling a product that's actually going to make a difference. But then what you also see is you see these doctors that work so hard. They're such like so smart and they go through so much and have to deal with the patients. But like you just said, we're giving them a product that we know is better for the patient. They're giving a better user experience and it's actually going to help them, right? Because what we've seen is like everyone's going to have a different product, but also this is where it comes very rep dependent because there are some devices that, you know, you can just plug and play and you go. There's also other devices that like, hey, how good's the surgeon using it? How good is that going? Because if you're not a good rep, you don't know how to coach, you don't know how to do your stuff. You're working with someone who's inexperienced. You haven't been able to help them through that process. There might be someone getting a device done or like put into them an implant that because it didn't go well, they're coming back in 3 years and it should have been 20 years. You know what I mean? And so like I think that's the biggest thing for me was like, A, having interaction with people every single day, working with scrub techs, nurses, and working with doctors and working with surgeons and working with those people in the hospital and being in the OR. Like, well, that's what a lot of people don't know about med device sales is like, it's not always in the OR. It matters what division you're in, but like, I'm in the OR. I'm a part of the team. I'm help coaching them. Like there'd be so many times they'd be like, oh, thank you. Jacob's here. Right. So it does give you that like little piece of significance or like you feel like you're actually making a difference. But I think even bigger was, you know, just making sure that I could sell a device that is changing somebody's life that, again, I truly believed in.
100%.
And that's the thing that always comes in is no matter what you sell, you have to truly believe and know it's making the difference. But that was the thing with med device sales is knowing that I could sell a product that made a difference for like the surgeon and them, but the people that actually got it and knowing it actually helped them. I always felt like I was like the cheat code, or like, how am I doing this? I sell something I believe in that's actually making a difference in this world to somebody's life, and I'm getting paid on it. Mm-hmm. What the heck? And I get to go talk to people. As you guys can all tell, I love to talk, right? Yeah. So it goes in. So that's one thing I loved about it. So we talked about what we really enjoyed about it. What's a con that you don't always necessarily love in the software world?
I mean, I think I would like, I mean, I'm an extrovert, so I would like to meet people in person.
Yeah.
I'd like to sell in person a lot of times. Because someone turns their camera off on Zoom and, you know, I'll be like, hey, you're going to have your camera off today, or what's going on? And that's kind of like an uncomfortable thing.
Yeah, but you're just talking to a blank screen.
Yeah, but sometimes they'll keep their blank screen. I've closed deals with people who I've never seen their face.
Wow.
And so that's a thing, is like, I would like to make that impact in person because I am such a people person.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be the one.
Big one. Yeah. I think for med device sales, I think with me, there's so much out of your control that you're doing so many other people's jobs all the time. And then I imagine you get that in software sales. But for example, you go drop a tray off at SPD. SPD didn't put something in it. Now you go in, now you can't use your tray. Now the doctor's mad at you because SPD messed it up. And now you can't even give them. And now they're going to use your competitive product, or you know what I mean? Or you could walk in, and like one of my first experiences, I took the lowest performing territory and they're like, you know, what the are you doing in here? Like, just mad at you. Like, what people miss is like, there's a lot of great people in the hospital, but there's a lot of negative nurses, scrub tech, surgeon, people that you just walk in and you have a smile on your face and you look like you're doing well in life. They hate you. Dealing with people, you know, that's the plus side of it, but it's also like a negative. And I think that's one thing is like, also people don't understand, hey, you get in and hey, case is at 9 a.m. You show up at 8 o'clock or 8:30 because you want to be there early. Nobody told you that the case got pushed back to 3 p.m. And now it's like, oh, you drove and you can't really drive away, or you're going to have to go back. And then you're always guessing. You don't know. That's just some of the things that come with it. But I think that was one of the biggest things for me that I always saw as like kind of a con, is like, hey, you know, you're dealing with that. But then also you're dealing with, and this is just always buyers, but again, even though working with surgeons are great, you're also working with surgeons. And so it matters what division you're in, what you are, but like you're dealing with people who've worked 14 years of schooling to like get where they're at today. And some people will be super nice. Some people will think you're the biggest idiot, like whatever it is. And so it's more going back to just dealing with those people, but I think it's a plus and a minus with everything. So I think that's a big one. And then just one side thing I want, because I know a lot of med device reps will like echo and sing praises and be like, hallelujah. Yeah. Say it one more time, is back orders, because you do have a physical product. Mm-hmm. You know, like during COVID, the biggest thing is all the people had supply chain issues. Dude, I lost out on thousands and thousands of dollars because our company couldn't put in, like we had back orders, even though I sold it, did everything, they didn't put it in. And now I lost thousands of dollars that I was supposed to get paid out, right? Or if you're the rep in there and now you're trying to help them, and now you have your account screaming at you because your big company doesn't have the actual product that they promised them. Now it's your job as the account manager now, or the rep, to be like, I'm so sorry that you're going through it. You're just getting screamed at while you're trying to send emails. And they're like, yeah, you're not going to get it for another 2 months, but they already paid. And so like, that's just some of the stuff I think can be the challenges. But as you guys hear, like there's pluses and minuses with everything, but I can just sit here and tell you guys, like one of the things that people, I loved being in the OR, I loved doing it, but then everyone was always like, oh, Jacob, don't you miss it? But I was never a person, like I loved my time in the OR. I met great people, but I was never a person who's like, I got to be in the OR to feel important. Mm. You know what I mean? But I know truly reps, like they literally quit and then they go back because they're like, I just needed to be in the OR. I needed to feel like I was important in there. Or I just love the OR. I love helping in the surgery. I enjoyed it and I loved it, but like I didn't need it. Mm. You know, so I think everyone's very different on what they go, but like, I just really enjoy, like, love talking about this kind of stuff, because again, learning about what you do and what you've done to be successful. And like, again, just being able to show, you know, we'll have more podcasts about this, because I know this is going to be a good topic and more people are going to be like, oh, give us, what's these specifics? And we can make episodes on that. But I think that's one of the things is, you know, so many people always say, oh, it has to be this or it has to be that. And like what most people probably thought when we get on here is we're going to just be like, no, yours stink. No, yours stink. No, yours is better. Yours is better. It's like, we're both doing our own thing and we both like what we're doing.
Sure.
And it's like, there's no right or wrong. And I think that's the biggest thing I wanted to get out to the audience today is there's no right or wrong. It's just what's the best fit for you. And so when I think about where this goes and kind of wrapping up, is like, what's your advice to somebody who is thinking about software sales? Because like we've talked about, they're both very competitive. they're very similar, you guys, in the process and what you're doing. You guys just heard kind of like the money could be very similar in certain aspects and all that. But what's your advice to somebody who's like, yeah, I'm really thinking about software sales?
I would say right now in 2024, be prepared to do the job to get the job.
Yeah.
So software sales in, you know, your day-to-day aspects of your actual job is going to be cold calling new prospects, being thoughtful with your outreach, sending a lot of LinkedIn in-mails, being thoughtful, maybe sending a video or a voice note once you connect with them. You got to do that to get the software sales job today. If you're just sending out your resume to 80 to 100 places, you're going to get rejected. You are not going to make it past the first interview. And so what I would say is find the hiring manager, send them a connection note, find the VP of sales, send them a connection note, find even reps on the team, send them a connection note, say, hey, my name's Will. Noticed that there was this role open at your XYZ company. Really thought it would be a great fit for my background and experience. Would love to connect and go over any questions you might have over my application. Looking forward to hearing from you soon. They'll accept the connection, or maybe they won't accept the connection. Then you have to take it a step further. Then you got to say, I'm going to download a software called Zoom Info and pull their numbers. Now I'm going to cold call them. Hey, man. Hey, what's going on, Will? Hey, I know I'm calling out of the blue here, but I noticed that your company was hiring for an account executive, or I noticed your company was hiring for an SDR. See, you've been there for like 3-4 years, seem to be crushing it. Wanted to just steal 60 seconds of your time, if you don't mind, just to understand, you know, what you love about working there. Because right now it's a hyper-competitive software sales market, and I'm trying to do the best thing I can to make myself stand out in all the other applicants. So if you don't mind, I'd love to just know how you like it there. And boom, you just made a connection. That rep is thinking, dang, this guy can cold call.
Bam.
He can cold call. He can do this. He can do that. Well, then that means he can do the job here. So I would say do the job to get the job for an SDR.
Come on.
And it's going to be hard. It's definitely the toughest job market I've ever seen for software sales.
Yeah.
But it's going to get easier as AI gets more developed, because as AI gets more developed, there's going to be new AI companies, and people need to sell their AI because AI is competing against AI product X, Y, and Z, and that product's Z, Y, and X. And it's like, well, I thought they're the same AI, but you need good sales reps to be able to sell it and out and push down the other competitor and level yours up. So,
yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, as you guys can see, it's like we are the same person. Do the job to get the job, baby. There's a lot of things you guys hear that is like very similar to what we teach in Men Device Sales. I'm not going to bore your guys' time of like, hey, what should we do? Because we have about 1,000 episodes that you guys can go watch about Men Device Sales, doing all that stuff. But Will, the biggest thing I want to know is like, so if people are watching this, where can they find you?
Yeah. So my name is Will Padilla. You can find me on LinkedIn. Will Padilla, just search my name, connect with me there. I also have the Sell That SaaS podcast. So it's Sell That and then Software as a Service. So SaaS, Sell That SaaS podcast. And you can find me that handle on Instagram and TikTok.
Love that, man. And you also have a LinkedIn that they can just follow your name.
Yeah, they just go search my name, Will Padilla. I'm on there. I'm very responsive. And yeah, I mean, Jacob's the man. I mean, he's pretty much crushing it in all things software sales and content. And so I'm excited to, you know, link up with you more on content.
Of course,
and be
man.
Able to just help each other leverage each other's brands. And
yeah,
I think this is kind of the beginning, and 2024 is the year of content.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a lot of fun. And guys, I really hope that you got a lot of content, because even why I was just laughing or got a lot of value out of this, but why I was laughing is why you're like AI. I'm like, that's a whole hour conversation we can go down in that, right? So there's a lot of like future stuff. When I thought about us connecting and doing this podcast, it was like, you know, so many people are like, it's either or. It's all this negativity, I think, about it. And I think it's like, why it goes back to what I always preach and what we can all win, right?
Yeah,
because,
right.
You know, somebody might want to do software and someone might want to do med device sales. And guess what? Someone might do both. Someone might go software to med device or med device to software. I've watched it both. You know, I've seen people do it. And so I think it's more just putting out that content that we can continue to help people. And it goes back to what we were talking, especially when we were on your podcast, is just like, it's all about providing value to other people. Mm-hmm. And you guys, I hope that's what you just get from this, is don't want anything from you. Don't need anything from you. We just want you guys to win. Get what you're looking out of life, and hopefully we can provide a little bit of value. But I just want to say, Will, thank you so much for taking time out of your night, taking time out of your day to just spend with us and actually just provide value to our guests and actually help me and everyone else learn more about software sales and how to break in and just a little bit more about that industry.
I'm very grateful to be here, and thank you for having me on. New to medical device sales community. Thanks for having a software sales rep on your podcast.
Yeah, it's been absolutely amazing. And guys, if you can, press that like and subscribe button. A 5-star review does help us grow this channel. And if you guys are interested in breaking into medical device sales, you guys can click the link below. Again, our average person is breaking in 8.2 weeks at $94,478. We just got a 22-year-old hired at $148,000 as a full-line rep. It's been so much fun. If you guys are serious about breaking into med device sales, would love to help you. If you guys are serious about breaking into software sales, please reach out to Will. He's the absolute dude in that industry. And so just want to say thank you to everyone who's spent the time. Feel free to reach out to me at Jacob McLaughlin or New to Medical Device Sales on any platform that you can think of, especially like LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram. But just want to say thank you to every single person who continues to support us. And hopefully this provided you all a lot of value. We'll see you on the next one. Peace.